welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and welcome to another program in the Listen to Older Voices series. This week I present part one of a three-part program on the life and times of 83-year-old Bill Day. In today's program we meet Bill and learn about life on the land as seen through his eyes as a young boy. We share his recollections of the Great Mice Plague, about his days at school, and we learn that his own father was a model for hard work. And we share his story of the fence posts that his father put in during the Depression being so well built that today they cause problems for shire workers some 70 years later. There's much to learn, like the importance of the basic wage to workers and how Bill came to learn construction techniques that would end up proving so invaluable years later. Now, here's Bill. Bill, thank you for inviting me into your home, and it's a beautiful day for us to sit here and do an interview. Could I start by asking you when you were born and where you were born?
Well, I was born on the 23rd of September 1925. I was born actually at Narendra.
So you're a country boy at heart?
Yep.
What's your earliest memory?
My earliest memory is when I was about four. I can remember a plague of mice just mowing our crop down. There was quite a large drainage channel across the end of our land, and the mice, when they'd finished with the crop, they just went into the drainage channel, drowned until it was full of mice, and then the rest went over the top and did the crop over the way.
So there were hundreds of thousands of mice by the sound of it.
Millions of mice. The channel was blocked for 9 miles.
That must have been devastating to all the farmers.
Oh, it was, it was. It broke them all.
Wow.
And then they scratched up what seed was left, which was very little.
Mm.
Planted again the next year, and we got a grasshopper plague, which took the lot that year.
Today, people think they're doing it tough, but it sounds like in those days you really did it tough.
Oh, yes, for sure. I was only a little tot, but I can remember Mum had all the furniture in the kitchen standing in tins of water.
So they couldn't get on it.
To stop them from getting to the legs. But they used to jump across to the legs, and it was nothing to be sitting down to a meal and the two or three mice running around on the table.
Good Lord.
And unless you see it, it's unbelievable.
I find it hard to actually even imagine it. I mean, I've had this image of all these mice, but that wouldn't be enough.
No, well, you couldn't walk across the yard without stamping on them.
You remember this, but what did it mean to you? I mean, was this like an adventure or did you understand it was serious?
I understood it was serious.
Right.
And actually, I was just coming good and I was housebound, more or less, because I'd had a sickness right from birth and nobody knew what it was until an old doctor, he said, take him off dairy foods. And they took me off dairy foods and I started putting on weight and I haven't stopped since.
Right.
And I haven't had dairy foods since.
Since you were about 4 years of age?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Which makes it a bit awkward when you go out anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because so much of our foods have dairy products.
Well, especially since the war, the European influence in our diet has put the dairy products to the fore.
Yeah.
That was only one part, and I would have been 7 and a half when we left that farm, virtually with all my parents owned, was on a wagon with 4 horses pulling it.
Gosh.
And Mum was following in a horse and gig with my sister and myself on board.
Talking about Mum and Dad, tell us a bit about Dad first of all. He was obviously a farmer. What do you remember about him?
He was a colossal worker. Very hard to work with because he expected everybody else to be able to do as much as he did.
Right.
And there were very few that could. I mean, I never got on very well with my father, and this was one of the reasons. But you've got to admire the way he used to work, and hours meant nothing to him. You know, he'd be digging post holes at 8 o'clock at night and think to himself, oh, I'm starting to feel a bit hungry. So he'd knock off and go and have something to eat.
So he never actually watched the clock. It was just...
Oh, no, no.
His stomach told him when to stop, not the clock.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. And the daylight was starting time. He was always on the job when it came light enough to see.
What about Mum? What was she like?
A very versatile lady. Gentle. Terrific mother. Used to make all her own clothes and our clothes too during the Depression.
Of course, yes.
And I've still got the little sewing machine. It's a hand wound.
Wow.
Sewing machine that she used to use. One of a big family. She was one of the younger ones of the family. Mm. Nothing fazed her. You know, she knew how bad things were and, you know, she was an absolute partner. There was no doubt about that to my father. But she just took what was coming and that was it. We moved from that farm at the Cornelia Creek to a place called Whitlands. Have you heard of
Powell's? No, I haven't.
Powell's Lookout, the other side of Tolmie.
Okay.
And we moved up there, and that was traumatic because my sister and I had been brought up on flat country.
Mm.
And to go and live in the hills above the snow line.
Oh, that's getting different.
And when I first saw the block that Dad had purchased, I couldn't understand how they could ever get a house built there because the trees were so close together and huge trees, you know. Well, that all had to be cleared with the axe and crosscut saw. There was no machinery,
no
tractors.
Of course not.
And they'd cut a tree down and then they had to grub the stump out. Well, they used to have to dig in a colossal big hole down around underneath it so they could cut the taproot.
Yes. So just preparing the place for a house would have been a big job.
This was just preparing a patch of land to put a house on.
And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
So they worked day and night on that, and an uncle of mine came in with Dad as a partner in that block. And to get timber to build a house, they set up a rough wooden saw bench, and the uncle had an old Fordson tractor that he brought up, and they used to drive the saw with that, and they cut the timber for the house.
On the spot.
On the spot.
Oh, that is doing it tough.
Then there was other people moving into the district and they needed timber too. So Dad decided he'd make the mill a bit bigger so that he could supply them.
Yes.
Which he did. And that kept us eating for most of the Depression years. But Dad supplied the timber and quite a lot of the labour to build a school. They got a grant of a section of Crown land and they put the school on that. And the education department said if they could get a building suitable, they would supply a teacher.
Okay.
And so anyway, there was 13 kids. And
did that include you?
Yeah. I was there first day.
First day.
And one teacher, of course, at that time there were 7 different grades.
Goodness
that
me.
He was teaching. And I was I'd just passed to go into the second grade before I went there.
Mm.
So anyway, he put me through the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and passed the exam to go into the seventh in 2.5 years.
Wow. Was this because you enjoyed the school and you learnt quickly?
I really enjoyed learning. I still do. Yes, it was just we had to walk 2.5 miles to school and I had no boots.
And you said sometimes that you were above the snow line too, yes. So it'd be cold.
Oh, yes. I used to walk to school in the snow, barefooted.
Gee. And home, of course.
Yeah, that's right. And none of us had coats, so we used to have a white bag over our shoulders, pinned together with a piece of wire in front, and then a white bag turned inside out, sort of, one corner pushed into the other, so we could have it over our head, and it hung down our backs. That's wow. The protection from the weather.
You did it really rough. But then again, everybody did it at the, in well, the country, didn't right. they, with
everybody
depression.
Everybody was doing it.
Yes.
And, well, I really think it's sticking to me now.
Go on, what do you mean by that?
Well, by doing it tough, eating plain food and having to work so hard, even as a kid. Like, before I went to school in the morning, I had to go round my rabbit traps, bring the rabbits home, skin them, prepare them for Mum to cook. And then when I came home at night, I'd first cut the wood for the wood stove for the next day. Then I'd go and set me rabbit traps.
For the next day?
Yeah, for the next morning.
So you sat there and told me a little while ago that it was really hard to keep up with your dad, who worked from basically sunrise to past sunset. Yet it sounds like you were almost doing the same thing yourself, because you're out there getting the rabbits in, cleaning them, walking 2.5 miles to school, doing school, cutting wood and setting traps. It must have been dark by the time you'd finished all that.
Every day.
And every day.
Yep. Except weekends.
Did you get that off, or did you have to work on the farm?
Oh, no. I'd still cut the wood for Mum and that sort of thing. Those chores, and I still set my rabbit traps. But during the day, I had a bit of free time.
What did you do with your free time?
Well, the chaps that were working on the mill, now a couple of them finished up in Healesville too, and they were cousins of mine, and they used to cut half-size timber for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an uncle working on the mill, and he was a cabinet maker and joiner. He knew a fair bit about carpentry as well.
Yeah.
So they used to show me how to put a little house together. So the uncle would get me, I'd draw the plan in the first place, and then I had to build the place to the plan, and when the frame was finished, pull it all down and start again on a different plan.
So even your play was really like learning.
That's right, yep.
Did you ever have time to, what we call actual play, did you ever have other kids around to actually get into trouble with?
Yes, I had a mate from down the road who was about half a mile the other side of the school. He used to come up and we'd go exploring in the bush and so forth. But, you know, no compasses or anything like that. And the bush was that thick you couldn't see 10 metres in front of you in lots of places. And here were we, 10 and 12. Why, we'd go, the bracken fern was up above our heads.
You had probably had no fear.
No fear. And I often wonder how my mother stood it.
Because
She must have worried like crazy.
Because even experienced bushmen can get lost in the bush.
Well, this is right,
and you're two kids.
But, you know, we travelled miles in that bush, and I could still nearly draw a plan of the bush. I knew it that well. But anyway, all good things come to an end, and we got to the stage where timber was getting very hard to sell, and so Dad sold his part of the mill and just went working on wages and fencing and that sort of thing. Give you an idea, I can take you to fencing at Tolmie that he put in 1936 or 37, and it's as solid as the day he put it in.
Amazing.
And he had to clear the line 12 foot wide, 6 feet either side of the fence, cut his posts out of the timber he cleared off the line, and also split the droppers as well, dig the post holes, and also a trench between the post holes, which had to be a foot deep. And he used to put a sapling along in the bottom of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to get narrow wire netting. And they put that wire to the sapling.
Right.
And then filled it in so the rabbits
couldn't get under. That's a lot of work, though.
Yeah. And I've got the ledger inside there. He was paid 7 and 6 pence a chain.
Now, a chain's a bit
chain
before my
was
time.
22 yards, the
right.
length of a cricket pitch.
Okay.
20 metres, really.
Yeah. And he was paid how much for that?
7 and 6 pence.
Lord.
And one of the shire workers in Mansfield, I was talking to him one day, and he said, "Oh, gee," he said, "I cursed that old man of yours the other day." And I said, "Why?" Well, he said, "They realigned the road," and he said, "I had to dig out his fence posts and realign them." And he said, "You know, they were bloody near growing." He said. Yes, well.
So when he built his fence, he built them to last.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And he used to work. He'd leave home on the Monday morning, before we were awake.
Yes.
He'd hop on his push bike and he'd ride 10 miles up to Tolmie. And he used to stay in a little old bark hut there. And Wednesday night he'd come home and have a cooked meal and take a few bit of prepared stuff back with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come home again on the Saturday.
Week in, week out he did that.
Yeah. And he kept us.
Yes.
During the Depression.
Yes.
Then, in 39, well, 38 things that got that stage, he had to move out and try and find a living somewhere else.
Mm.
So in 39, we moved from there down to Kyabram.
That would have been like a much larger town than you'd been used to, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen electricity.
Of course. Okay, tell us about that. What was your first experience with electricity?
Well, actually my first experience with it was when my young brother was born. I was 8 and a half. And we went down to Maroopna and stayed with Mum's brother. And I'll never forget, he said, "Look, Bill," he said, "reach up and that little white porcelain switch with a brass toggle in the middle."
How beautiful. They are. Yeah.
He said, "If you pull that little brass toggle down," he said, "see what happens." I pulled it down. The room was flooded with light. I couldn't believe it.
Well, you can't see electricity, I'm moving on the line. How in the world can you doubt it when you can see it shine? When you get salvation, the current you can feel, you won't have to have nobody to tell you that it's real. Some people don't know good music when they hear it in the air. Some people, they don't know God when they kneel down in prayer. But let me tell you something, and I'm not gonna tell you wrong. When you get salvation, you'll know it by its tone. Well, you can't see electricity, I'm moving on the line. How in the world can you doubt it when you can see it shine? When you get salvation, now the current you can feel. You won't have to have nobody to tell you that it's real. Some people don't believe in religion, they think it's all a fake. It's just as real, good people, as eating a T-bone steak. It's as sweet as any honey that any bee could make, with a good old sugar molasses and a great big chocolate cake. Now you can't see electricity, I'm moving on the line. How in the world can you doubt it when you can see it shine? When you get salvation, now the current you can feel. You won't have to have nobody to tell you that it's real. This old time salvation he gave to me and you. I'm a feasting on the mountain like Jesus told me to. I'm a drinking from God's fountain that flows from up on high. I'm a feasting on the mountain where God's fountain won't run dry. Well, you can't see electricity, I'm moving on the line. How in the world can you doubt it when you can see it shine? When you get salvation, now the current you can feel. You won't have to have nobody to tell you that it's real.
Listen to older voices. Living history on Ageless Radio.
The best lamp we had in the house. Oh, it's sitting up on top of a cupboard over there.
And you've still got that lamp.
Yep.
When you went to Kyabram, that was the first time your own house had electricity.
Yep. With the electricity, the house was alive with bed bugs. I mean, Mum was very particular about anything like that.
Sure.
She'd gone over the house. It was a mud brick house, beautifully built, hard plasters on the inside and the outside.
How delightful.
But the bed bugs had got in behind the plaster.
Oh, once in there, couldn't get them out.
Well, there was no sprays to use
in those
either.
Days, no.
In those days.
So that must have played havoc on you, especially in the night.
Well, we didn't stay there very long, I can tell you, because nobody got any sleep.
No.
And we got another house about a mile out of the town, and we moved out to that. It wasn't as comfortable as the place in the town with the bed bugs, but...
But it didn't have the bed bugs.
We didn't have the bugs. I often wonder how Mum cleaned everything. Like all the material that she had, you know, sheets and blankets and all that, they would have all had bugs in them.
That's right.
And however she got rid of them to go into that other house and not have any problem there. But anyway...
A lot of hard work by the sound of it.
That's the sort of woman she was.
Yes. So you would have been around 14 years of age when you went to Kyabram.
12.
12.
Yeah.
Were you working?
No.
But
I
you
went to school there.
You went to school at Kyabram?
Yeah, for 2 years.
Okay, what was that like? Did you enjoy that as much as the previous school?
Coming from a school of 13 pupils.
That's right.
To 200 to a class.
That would have been very difficult to take, I can imagine.
It was, yeah.
Yes.
And a little shy country boy, you know, wouldn't say boo to a goose sort of thing. And then, surrounded by all these people and... The class I went into, there was 200 in it.
200 in the class.
There was 50 to the room. So there was 4 rooms of the one class. There was one little bloke there, he was nowhere near as big as me. And he used to be ducks of the class every exam. And of course, we used to have 3 examinations a year then.
Right.
Which I reckon they should still have. Because as it is now, when they get to the HSC exam, it's the first exams they've had to go through.
They're not used to it, that's right. No.
Anyway, this Don McKenzie, he finished up a postmaster, but he was always ducks of the class, and for 3 exams in 1 year and 2 in the other, he was first and I was second.
That's still a damn good achievement, wasn't it?
Well,
especially again, as you said, a country boy coming from a very small school to an enormous school, it would have been easy to have gotten lost in there.
Oh, yes, yeah. But the point was, I loved learning.
Right.
And, I remember the last exam I had, I was recommended for my merit certificate after that. Don McKenzie got 93% over 10 subjects, and I got 92.8.
I don't know about you, I would have been just a little bit cranky about that. So close.
Join Bill and I next week for part two of his story. We'll learn about Bill's retail experience and how and why he stood up to his store manager, which in turn resulted in his appointment as an assistant store manager. Find out how Bill comes to be building aerodromes during World War II and his part when he reinforced the guards at the Great Cowra Breakout. All this and more next week on Listen to Older Voices with Bill Day. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.